Hey, this is Chris Brown, and this episode is brought to you by Vanderblumen, the search group who helps churches and ministries build great teams through their innovative pastor search and church staffing process. Visit westaffthechurch.com to learn more.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown, and today we're going to be talking all about maximizing your purpose. Maximizing your purpose. We're talking about the responsibility of stewardship, the privilege of stewardship, and the rewards of true stewardship. And we'll be breaking down a little of the who, the what, the why, and the how of this thing we call stewardship. If you're new to the show, the goal of each and every show is for you to be equipped, for you to be empowered, for you to be encouraged, ultimately giving you hope. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." And no matter what your next obstacle or opportunity is on your journey, we want you to know there is hope. And that hope is because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. It's a great place for us to start. We're talking through the who, the what, the why, and the how of stewardship today. Let's start with the who, and that is our Lord. If we're going to fully leverage our past, if we're going to fully maximize our present and future, we need to know for who. Who is all that for? Our working definition for stewardship is managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. We have to foundationally understand that God is the owner and that we're not. The reality is that often, if we're honest, we act as if we're the owners. Have you ever taken your children to McDonald's? Of course you have, right? And I'm talking about McDonald's on purpose here because I think that's in almost every country. So I think you guys all know McDonald's. That's pretty safe. But you walked up to that counter and you didn't just buy the McDonald's, but you splurged. You splurged on fries, a drink. Maybe you even went all out on the Happy Meal, right? And they hugged your leg. You shared that sweet moment. Then you got your drinks and your ketchup, fully expecting this beautiful sweetness to continue, since you did indeed buy them food. But then you apparently had a crazy bad idea. You had the audacity enough to lean over and attempt to taste one of those fries that you bought. And that's when it all went wrong. You shouldn't have assumed, right? They smack your hand. They look at you like you're some kind of villain. And then you're like, boy, if I want one of those fries, I will jump over this table and kindly take one, right? Silly boy thought he was calling the shots. Silly boy, right? Well, we can be the exact same way. And we have to remember he is the owner. He is the provider. He's the one that buys the fries. When we do that, we realize there is more to this life than just existing and making some good memories along the way. And when we realize just how significant our lives are, there is more meaning. There's more purpose. And two things that our soul longs for, even through all the distractions, is community and purpose. Community and purpose. It's when we have purpose that we get a glimpse of the intent behind Jesus' words when he said, "I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The question is, what does this abundant life look like that he's referring to?
This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
I know firsthand the passion the Vander Blumen Search Group has for helping churches and faith-based organizations find their key staff, since they actually connected Ramsey Solutions with me. If your church is looking for its pastor or any key staff member, reach out to Vander Blumen at westaffthechurch.com. They're the leading search firm for churches and faith-based organizations of all sizes and can help find the right candidates that fit your church's unique needs. Find out more at westaffthechurch.com. Well, folks, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and today we're talking through the who, the what, the why, and the how of stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. I'm not sure how much we're actually going to get through, but this will be an ongoing teaching series right here on Chris Brown's True Stewardship that I desperately want you to hear. So make sure you stay tuned by subscribing on iTunes or stay tuned on stewardship.com, because you're not always going to be right there next to the radio. So God is the owner, but what kind of owner is he? Well, we see in Genesis 1 that he is the creator God. Verse after verse, we read God created. God said, let there. God said, God created. God said he literally spoke creation into existence, including the entire human race. God created. God created. God said, let there be. Let there be. Colossians 1:16 says, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Romans 11:36 says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Everything belongs to him. To the Lord your God belongs the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it, Deuteronomy says. Deuteronomy 10:14. And we read in the Psalms, for every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. Psalm 50, verse 10. Two verses later, the world is mine, and all that is in it. Then we go over to Haggai 2:8. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. You go to 1 Chronicles 29:11. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Colossians 1:16 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, there are some verses in the scriptures, like Proverbs 3:9, Colossians 4:15, that refer to people owning possessions, but underlying those verses is the knowledge that everything belongs to God, and that's from an earthly perspective, an earthly ownership, which we know is not really meaningful at all. Everything belongs to God. So not only is he the creator owner, right? Back in Genesis, the creator owner, the one who has the real control. While often, if we're honest, we think that we have control. You know what that reminds me of? When we think, Bob, you know, when we think we have control, Bob, the producer, is looking at me like, I don't know where he's going with this. The movie, Paul Blart. Mall Cop, Paul Blart. We're often running around, we're calling spiritual balls and strikes, acting like we're the boss or we're the umpire, when really, we just need to focus on being a brilliant participant, letting the real referee call the fouls. Romans 11:36 says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. When we really get this, when we really get stewardship, well, stewardship changes everything. Because one of the coolest things is he is an empowering God. It's clear that he is the owner, but he entrusts us with a ton of empowerment. Why do I tell you all that? Because whatever you're facing right now, whatever your family member is facing right now, Listen, you can put the cape away. There's only one God. There's only one Messiah. And that should be very relieving, very freeing to you. You're likely carrying around a pressure that you were not designed to carry. It's relieving to not be the owner. You know, I've owned a home and I've rented homes before. And I'll tell you, a couple of years ago, I loved being able to call the owner of our home, our landlord, and tell him about the leak in our kitchen ceiling. I loved being able to cast my cares upon him, if you will, right? He's the owner. It was simply my job to proactively communicate with the owner by actually picking up the line. Our faith is no different. The Bible says to trust him and lean on him. He is our tower of refuge. And thank God he is fighting for us because, folks, let's face it. When we try to take things in our own hands, we can certainly mess some things up. Thank heavens his ways are not our ways. Well, hey, it's Chris Brown here. And if you've been thinking about investing lately, it's hard to dive right in. You need to know how it works and why you actually need to invest. Well, imagine working with an investing professional who explains every detail in a way that you can understand it, who offers guidance for your situation, who treats you like a person, not a transaction, who doesn't judge you no matter your age, your account balance, your financial knowledge. That's what you get when you work with a SmartVestor Pro. So if you need someone you can count on to help you take control of your future, go to stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends to find a SmartVestor Pro in your area. Again, go to stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends, and then click on Find a Pro with SmartVestor to get started today.
We appreciate you joining us today for Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And leave us a voicemail. Let's get back to Chris.
Well, this is Chris Brown. You are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We are taking your calls 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, also taking your emails. So feel free to call anytime at 866-357-3283. And the email address is chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. If you get voicemail, it's fine. Just leave a voicemail. So we're talking all about the who, the what, the why, the how, stewardship, and we're talking about ownership. Who is the owner? The who? If God is the owner, then what else does that mean? Well, as the owner, we have to realize that he is not only the owner, he's the source of all power. In Numbers 20, 1 through 13, there's a story about Moses, where Moses got into trouble when he started viewing himself as the source, and he hit the rock. But ultimately, their destiny was delayed because of him, and Moses ended up missing out on the reward that God had intended for him. Foundationally, we have to remember that we're not the source, not the source of any of our blessings. But Chris, I work really hard. I mean, I work really hard for my money. You ever heard that? Hear this plainly. We are not the source. So Chris, if that's true, then where do we come in? Well, I'm glad you asked. Genesis 1, 26 through 27 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You got to love that KJV stuff, right? Not only did he give us dominion that we found out in Genesis earlier, let's not miss that he created us too. He created us Genesis 2:7, check this out. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, check this out right here, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. He actually breathed life into us. We are actually living out the Creator's very breath. This is actually reemphasized in Isaiah 42:5. It says, this is what God the Lord said, the Creator of the heavens who stretched them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. Not only did he create us and breathe life into us, but check this out. If your gratitude is not where it needs to be yet, it's about to. He also interacts with us. He's a creator owner, and he's also an active owner. God interacts in several ways. First of all, he is Lord. And bluntly speaking, what does that mean? Our active owner is actually Lord. Well, the word Lord means boss. It means master. He maintains his position of not only creator, but ultimate authority. He is the boss. You think through all your bosses that you've had throughout your years, right? There's likely been some great ones, and there's likely been some terrible supervisors in your working history. Those of you that have lived a little bit longer, you know what I'm talking about. If you're 22 listening in, you've had two bosses, maybe you're not sure what I'm talking about. But you live long enough, you'll have some terrible, terrible supervisors. Just a little note here, though. If all of your supervisors throughout your adult life have all been terrible, guess what the common variable is? It's you. So if they're all bad, that's a problem. I got a little chuckle from producer Bob on that one. So have you ever been frustrated that you didn't get enough room to lead? Ever been frustrated that you didn't get enough faith in you, or been frustrated in some way or another, right? Well, our heavenly boss, he lets us lead. He gives us tons of trust, tons of rope, and he wants us to succeed. And get this. Now, this one will strike home. He's not threatened by our success. Our heavenly boss is an empowering and sovereign boss, our Lord. He's truly sovereign. Y'all, I can't let this go, but I once had a boss, while we're on the subject, that started a meeting by saying this. I'm not even kidding. He said something along the lines of, I called this meeting because I think we need to talk about the level of professionalism at the office. Here's the punchline. While he was spitting tobacco in a plastic cup. That actually happened. Crazy stuff, right? Well, our boss in heaven is not like that. Thank God we not only have a great heavenly boss, but we serve the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. So, Chris, if he's all that, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, folks, that question is probably a show series in itself. It's like a two or three, that's a week long of shows right there. Which we probably will do soon, but I'll just quickly say this, that when God gives the human race the ability to choose and the discretion to make good decisions and bad decisions, there'll be some pain involved. But make no mistake about it, he is a loving God, and he wants you to succeed. You know, I faced a lot of pain in my life, with a childhood filled with violence, poverty, pain, three parents who have already passed away, a miscarriage, you name it. But I know that my Lord is a loving Lord. He's come that we would have life and have life to the full. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That is the boss that we serve. He is a creator owner. He's an active owner. He's our Lord, and he is loving in his activity. He was loving in the Bible times, and he is loving now. He performed miracles in the Bible, and he performs miracles today. I just had a man by the name of Nick Wojcik right here in the studio. He was talking to me about him proclaiming the gospel to over 6 million people, and the guy has no arms and no legs. You've got to be kidding me. I've seen countless marriages restored when there was no hope. Families put back together, addictions overcome, worldviews changed, family trees changed, people set free when there was no earthly solution in our finite minds. And not only is he a God, a creator owner, he's an active owner, he's a living owner. Did you get that? He's a living owner. He's alive inside each and every one of us. He's alive through his Holy Spirit. And thank God for the Spirit's activity in our lives. That's where we get that conviction from. He guides our heart throughout our days, and we grow in our discernment of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit actually plays many roles. Again, another topic for a future show, but the Holy Spirit is yet another gift from our God. I hope you're seeing why we're covering all this today, because we can't experience true stewardship until we truly know the owner. It is an impossible feat to eternally love someone that you don't know. And he's there and alive for all of us. We can have as much God as we want to have. Lastly, our owner is a savior owner. He not only is into leading, but he's also into redeeming. His very character is grace. And no matter how much we mess up, we are his kids, and we cannot mess up enough to escape his love and affection. I'm the earthly owner of my kids' bikes. But no matter how many times they leave them out in the rain, this is hitting close to home. I mean, this is fresh. And they throw their bikes down, I will always extend grace to them and love them unconditionally. Why? Because they're my children. There may be consequences, but my parental grace will cover their mistakes. Folks, our Father's saving love is similar. He has a love that we can't even comprehend. Check out Colossians 1, 21 through 22. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but, you gotta love that, but God, right? But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. Our owner offers us salvation, and all this is because of who our owner is. He offers salvation, he offers peace, he offers comfort, and this is where the gratitude comes from. The life of a steward is filled with gratitude, and this is why we're spending time on this today. It's impossible to consistently be a good, faithful, true steward when you don't really get who your owner is. When we get this deep down, our decisions go from, do I have to? Like, Chris, hey, do I have to save? Chris, do I have to do this? Hey, do I have to be faithful with this? Do I have to talk to my spouse better? No, it goes from, do I have to I want to I get to. I get to manage the creator stuff. So as I try to think through those of you who are listening in right now, and you're listening from different states, different countries, going through different situations, we all have different backgrounds. We've had different journeys to this point. As I think through that, I can't help but think there are several of you that may be discouraged right now because everything you've heard on this broadcast, it's not real to you. You've got doubts. You want to believe everything I just said, but you're a little apprehensive. Hear me loud and clear. That's okay. There are several phases that we all go through in a stewardship journey, and just keep these in mind. There's an awareness phase, okay? This moment where you intellectually, in your mind, you can comprehend the fact that there's an owner. You're not the owner. You're only the manager. Psalm 24, okay, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's in your mind. That's phase one. Then you go into phase two and you accept that. You don't not only accept that in your mind, but it actually takes an 18-inch journey down to your heart, and you accept responsibility. So now what? What does that mean? And you take on the responsibility of being a manager. That goes into the next phase of action. The Bible tells us not to just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And so you got to act. This is where you start to put accountability in place. Things look a little bit different. You start to make some decisions for God's glory, not your own. And then the fourth phase is advance. That's where you become an ambassador in evangelism for the movement, and you bring others along on the journey as well. I think I actually may develop those four A's a little bit more in tomorrow's episode. You may or may not be near the radio at this time tomorrow, so feel free to subscribe on iTunes as we continue to learn all of this together, as we learn to be centered in Christ, not culture. When we learn how awesome He is, it's so much easier for us to trust in the Master, not the card. Well, folks, that is it for today. I've really enjoyed our time together. Don't forget, for those of you who have some investing questions right now, maybe you're looking forward to asking them on today's show and couldn't, be sure to check out our new free SmartVestor resource right there at stewardship.com by clicking on Chris Recommends, and then all you got to do next is click on Find a Pro. God, please embed this deep into our minds, into our hearts, into our souls. Strengthen us as we seek to manage this life your way and for your glory. Not because we have to, but because we get to.